Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful Friday, ladies and gentlemen, on the network with Dr. Larry Carnes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Optimum Return Worldwide Network with Dr. Larry D. Carnes. Ladies and gentlemen, some people call it Fun Friday. Some people call it Freedom Friday. We're going to call this Transformational Friday for you today because Dr. C does not be playing when he's doing his training, ladies and gentlemen, and when he talks about transformation. So we're so excited about you being with us tonight, and he's going to have an awesome guest with us tonight. But before we bring on Dr. C, a few quick announcements, ladies and gentlemen, let you know that Dr. Larry Carnes is live on the air right now, ladies and gentlemen. That number to call in is 347-843-4559. That's 843-4559. That's 347-843-4559. Once again, 347-843-4559 for the call-in number so you can listen in. Dialogue or be a part of this wonderful program with Dr. Larry D. Carnes. Also, ladies and gentlemen, for those who are on the internet worldwide as well, the chat room is wide open, ladies and gentlemen. The chat room is open. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/men, let's talk. That's blogtalkradio.com/men, let's talk. Look for the programming that's live right now. You'll see the live banner there, Dr. Larry D. Carnes on the Optimum Return Network, ladies and gentlemen. He also, too, Dr. C also encourages you to get your Bibles out, ladies and gentlemen, and get ready to receive, get your pen, paper out. You want to take some copious notes tonight, and of course, you can even come back later on and listen to this over and over again on the network, ladies and gentlemen. All Dr. Carnes' radio programs are recorded, ladies and gentlemen, and available for you after the broadcast completes. So thank you so much for that. Hey, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring on a man of God, ladies and gentlemen. If you are not driving, ladies and gentlemen, let's give Dr. C a round of applause as he comes to the mic right now.
Well, praise the Lord, for surely this is a day that the Lord has made. Listen to me carefully. Make a conscious decision to rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, it's your boy, Dr. C, Miss Tank's baby boy. So glad that you could join us for another exciting and empowering Optimal Return broadcast. Hey, we're up close and personal right here on the Optimal Return Network. I pray that you've had a very blessed week. Hey, I know it's good now, because we're going to drop some stuff on you tonight that's really going to give you some time to meditate, think about some things. Hey, as always, I would be remiss if we didn't go before and thank our Creator for our mere existence. Let us take a moment to always acknowledge God. Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We thank you for who you are, not for what you've done. But if you never do anything else, you've already done enough. We thank you for the greatest gift that we could ever receive. He is Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the giver of life. And we thank you for precious Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He's our guide. He's our comforter. Now, Father, we thank you, and we pray for those who are less fortunate. We pray that peace comes into Israel. Lord God, we pray for those right now who may be suffering, going through some type of sickness and disease. And I just release optimum healing and demand it to be so as it permeates them from the crown of their head to the very sole of their feet. You said that you sent your word, and your word is already healed. So now, in the mighty name of Jesus, now we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise in his name. He's worthy, 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 worthy. Hey, it's good to once again be able to come and greet you. We have again with us tonight my very special guest, Ms. Kel McQueen. She's the creator of the documentary, My Father John Doe. Hey, we had an awesome broadcast last week. Remember, you can always go back and download last week's broadcast and listen to it over and over and over again as some insightful information was shared. So without further ado, I'm just going to give you a little intro, tell you about Kel. You know, as we shared last week, Kel was raised in Cedar Grove, you know, a small town in West Virginia, before relocating to the Atlanta area. She attends Full State University. She's a very dynamic young lady. I've had an opportunity to meet her in person, and she's just as precious and dynamic in person as she is when you're going to hear her voice. Very astute, very mannerable, focused. You know, at her age, it's very, you know, it's someone who's focused and in touch with time. But when you listen to her viewpoint on this subject, she extends beyond her years of age in maturity. I'm just blown away at the maturity level. And when I hear her and talk to her, at the passion and the love that she has for her father even now. So that's just awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, she's on a mission. She has a purpose. I'm telling you, we're going to hear some big things coming from this young lady. So let's put your hands together as we welcome Kel into the broadcast. Optimal blessing, Kel. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. I'm great. So glad and so honored to have you with us once again. So
I'm honored to be back. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. Listen, talk to us a little bit. You know, we had opportunities to meet last week, and you told me you was expecting to see me come up with just what you might have been expecting, you know. So, but awesome, awesome time meeting you, getting to meet your precious mother, and it's an awesome time. Talk to our audience a little bit.
Well, it's so fantastic to be back again. You know, I'm starting to feel like this is home now, you know. I'm
all right.
This is you know, I'm very, very comfortable with you all. You know, you welcome me with warm arms, and I appreciate you all so much, and I appreciate again, you know, all the love and support of the project My Father John Doe. And yes, you know, to everybody out there, you know, I will say that I definitely, I guess, when I thought of the image of you know, Mr., you know, Dr. Carnes, I assumed he was going to walk up in a Steve Harvey suit, you know. And he was so laid back and so down to earth and, you know, so very cool. And I definitely appreciated that. You know, he blended in, you know, with my people and my mother and, you know, everyone so well. And it was like, you know, we've known him for years. So, you know, he's definitely a very down-to-earth person, and I appreciated, you know, meeting you.
Oh, well, you know, but see, I need to hire you to say that everywhere. Yeah, we need to record that. Make sure we got that recorded, El Divine, so we can replay that, you know. So, but you know, the pleasure was all mine. And I tell you, and I say that in all honesty. And when I speak to, we're always looking. I like to look beneath the surface, you know, because people will show us what they want us to see on the surface. But then you do that by meeting someone, noticing their integrity, their character, their mannerism, because, you know, people are so, people can modify their behavior and make you think what they want you to think.
Right.
But I tell you, as I look and I've had opportunities to be in your presence and to speak with you in depth, you know, I say, well, what you hear and what you see is what you get. So I just like to commend you on that, commend your lovely mother for doing such a lovely job of raising a very, 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 you know, I'm going to use the word vivacious young lady. You know, see, didn't even know that could come from the doctor. But she's just done an excellent job.
Thank you so much. I'd like to congratulate
your lovely mother. And you know, and your mother was so hospitable. I mean, my God,
oh, yeah.
You know, it was just such a warm environment there. So that's great. You know,
definitely.
Awesome. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, for those who were not tuned in with us last week, about My Father, John Doe, and what was the driving force behind you taking on this initiative?
Well, My Father, John Doe, you know, for those who didn't get a chance to tune in last week, My Father, John Doe is a documentary that I created about 2 years ago. I started the creation process for it about 2 years ago. And it's basically a documentary that touches on the importance of a woman having a father in her life and how it can affect her, you know, once she becomes a woman. And, you know, I 2 years ago, I just really I looked at the world around me and I realized that, like myself, and, you know, my mother and women in my family and my friends, you know, I didn't know anyone at the time that had a father in their lives. And I started paying attention to the patterns, you know, that we took as far as men. You know, a lot of the decisions that we made were similar, and a lot of our opinions were similar, you know, and it wasn't very good, you know. So I realized that there was a lot of pain that I was going through, a lot of hurt that, you know, I hadn't really faced or even realized. And, you know, when I started going through my process of discovering, you know, my pain and being honest with myself about my feelings, you know, I realized that I wasn't by myself, you know. So I realized that there were so many women that were dealing with this same exact problem, you know, and that we were kind of, you know, in a generation that was a little bit misguided, you know, when it came to that subject. So I decided to, it originally was going to be a book because I'm a writer originally. And that's what I was going to do, was write a book about it. But I realized that, you know, in this time, things are a little more visual and people kind of need to see, you know, they have to look into the eyes of the people, you know, in order to really feel and understand. So that's why I decided to make a documentary about the subject. So that's what brought me to this you know, place right now.
Wow, that's awesome. I heard you say something that's very important, and that was the pain and how you dealt with it, and the pain and how other women have to deal with it. Share with us a little bit about how you dealt with that pain. And from dealing with that pain, first acknowledging the pain, how important, let me ask you this, how important is it to acknowledge the fact that when a father's not present in the life of a young girl, teenage girl, young lady, and even on up until adulthood, how a young lady to deal with that?
Well, you know, it's something that, well, like for my case, my dad wasn't in my life since I was two. So I didn't really have experiences with him throughout my life, you know, where, you know, I spoke to him occasionally, you know, throughout the years, but, you know, we never had a real relationship. So, you know, I was used to him not being in my life. So I then did not see the effects that it had on me, you know, because this was the life that I knew. You know, it was the way of life, and I didn't know anything different. You know, I didn't realize that as I got older and started dealing with men, that I was so, I had no clue how to deal with men, what to accept from men. So it was doing a lot more damage to me on the inside, and that's probably where it hurts the most, when you don't even, you're not even paying attention to what it's doing to you because of the fact that it's been the way of life for all these years and you've gotten used to it. See, the problem is when you've gotten so used to it that you now have, you know, covered up a lot of stuff. You cover up a lot of pains, a lot of emotions, and, you know, there's a lot of women that don't even, you know, want to show emotion, you know, when it comes to that because they see it as being weak. You know, it's very, very damaging, and I think that's what, you know, people don't realize is how damaging it can be, especially the longer you let it go. You know, when you get into a place where, you know, you're in your 40s and your 50s and you've never faced this issue or never faced, you know, that emotion and that pain, it can be, and it's so hard to come out of the longer you let it go. You know, so it's very damaging. It's very damaging, and it's a very, very deep root, you know, that sometimes it takes a lot of work, you know, for you to get to a place of healing, because you know, the hardest part is being honest with yourself about your pain and actually releasing that pain. It's so deep. It's so deep.
Wow. You know, and that's interesting. I heard you say that it's very damaging,
mm-hmm.
and that speaks volumes. Talk to us a bit about that, and then with your connection with friends, you mentioned family members with the same type of situation, and just young ladies and women in general who you come in contact with materialized in their lives as a result of the absence of the father. And for the listening audience, I want to just bring you all in. We're not talking about, hear me carefully, we're not talking about, we're not male bashing. We're talking about the absence of a father in the life of young ladies, young women, even young girls, and the, you know, effects of that. How does it affect their lives? How does it affect the way that they grow up and make decisions in life? So for those of us, for you who are listening, men, we're not male bashing. We're just talking about the importance.
The importance, exactly.
The presence in her life. You may be hundreds of miles away, but she needs you involved in her life. It's just a phone call or your presence at times, you know, to let her know that she's significant. So that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just so excited. So Kel, damaging the effects and that you've experienced, not only in your life, but in the lives of others. Speak to us a little bit about that.
Well, really quick, I want to say something that goes, you know, with what you were just saying about the, you know, non-male bashing. See, and that's why I, to this day, I will never, ever, ever refer to my father as a deadbeat dad. I don't like that. I don't like that phrase. I don't like that. I don't like hearing that. Because one thing that I have learned is that not everybody knows how to be a parent. Not everybody knows how to be a father. It is possible that there are men out there that just don't know how to be fathers and never knew how to, because of their experiences. You know, everything comes from something. That's one thing that I'm real big about, you know, is everything comes from something. You know, And so that's why I don't like saying deadbeat fathers, because you really have to, before you judge, take the time to try to find out where it came from and why the situation is the way that it is. You know, because like I said before, you know, last week, you know, we always expect our parents to be the heroes, the people that are, you know, not supposed to make mistakes. You know, we're the ones that are supposed to make mistakes, and they're supposed to teach us and fix it and be our safety net. Well, you know, our parents were people long before we came along. You know, and just because we come, you know, into the world does not mean that all of a sudden everybody's going to get an epiphany and they're going to know exactly what to do and they're going to do everything right, you know. So I just wanted to kind of add on to that, you know, because that's actually something that I've been thinking about as well.
Yeah, well, gee, I was breathing through my nose and keeping my mouth shut while you was on that road there. Well, go on then, girlfriend.
He said I'm used to my nose.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you know, breathe through
and
your nose, keep your mouth shut, you might stay out of trouble sometimes. I ain't going to charge nobody extra for that. That was just a little throw-in like that, you know. But, so, yeah, that's powerful, you know. And see, for those of you who are listening, that's what I meant. When you hear the perspective that this young lady has, and you hear the maturity, which extends beyond her years when it comes to age, that takes someone who's made a conscious decision to be greater than. Listen to me. Where you are does not determine who you are, because who you are is greater than where you are. So your situation and your circumstances may not be ideal at this point in your life, but there's a greater than on the inside of you. You have value, you have purpose, you have wealth on the inside of you that you haven't even discovered yet. So don't allow your circumstances or your situations, even though they may at times appear to be unfavorable, do not allow them to define you. Because where you are does not determine who you are greater than where you are. Well, y'all need to write that one down. I mean, I kind of feel that. Yeah. You know. Hey. Okay. So
absolutely.
Now, so that's awesome. So now, Kel, something, you know, powerful. Last week, and you made again, you said life happened. You talked about writing, you know, a letter. I remember you speaking about writing a letter, and you have the letter sealed. You kept it to yourself. And so you made the statement that parents aren't superheroes.
Right.
And I thought that was great. But then you also said something that was so, so powerful, and that thing just resonated. You said, although, and I'm paraphrasing, although your father may have been absent in your life, that he had a part in creating you. And when you said that, that spoke volumes. It showed an appreciation for, in spite of the situation or the conditions, and it also spoke to me that you're greater, you're bigger than, you know, the situation that was there in your life. Speak to me, if you will, about what would you say? Let me ask you this. And then we're going to open up the line because we have some callers on the line and they may have questions for you. So callers, we're going to be opening up the line shortly. Now, when you hear the last four digits of your phone number called out, that means that we're opening the line for you to come on and present a question that you might have for Kale. And so if you may have to hit star one or something to unmute your phone. But when you hear the last four digits of your phone number, that means that we'll open up the lines for you to ask Kale a question. Now, we don't want you to get on and preach. But, you know, so we're going to let you ask Kale a question. You know, Kale, you're so crazy. You better put nothing up. You know.
You started it.
You know. So put nothing with hope. So, you know. What I heard from you, you said something that was so powerful because, you know, I'm listening, but I heard from you that you had respect even in his absence. as you were speaking, you had respect for your father, even in his absence. I tied that with the statement you made last week about he had a part in creating you. Speak to me, if you will, about how a young lady, the respect, even in the absence, as she navigates through the pain of her father not being there.
Well, I will say that the love around her, the love of her family, plays a huge part, you know, because, you know, I've said this several times, you know, I had an incredible mother and you know, a great family that, you know, loved me and showed me, you know, what love was from family. So, you know, just and having a mother that did not bash my father, you know, whatever feelings she had for, you know, towards him, you know, whatever anger or anything, I never knew about, you know, because she wanted me to build my own opinion and my own relationship with him. She didn't want me, she didn't want my feelings to stir from, you know, her feelings, you know. So to this day, I couldn't, if my mother's ever been angry at my father, I couldn't tell you, because she never expressed that to me. And that played a very huge part, and I appreciate that because I was able to see things for myself and, you know, create my own opinion. And, you know, and also the fact that she's always spoke pretty well about him. You know, she did tell me the good things about him, you know, so that I wouldn't just think that, you know, because, of course, you know, other people that are protective of my mother and of me, you know, everybody has been happy with my father because of the fact that he wasn't around, you know. But she's always been like, okay, no. She said, you listen to me. You know, I'm your mother. I'm the one who, you know, who's been with him. I know him. So, you know, she let me see the greater part of him. So, you know, it's just having incredible people around you to, you know, hold you up in those times where, you know, you're having a hard time and going through that pain and for things that you don't understand, you know, about him, you know, being able to answer, you know, some of those questions and you know, making me realize that that people are not perfect, you know, regardless of whatever, people are not perfect. But also, she always let me know that regardless of whatever, regardless of what anybody ever said or anything that he has ever done or not done, that he loved me. She said she never wanted me to ever doubt that my father loved me because he wasn't around. She didn't want me to think that, you know, and that's actually something that I passed on to my sister. Because when I first met my sister, you know, and you know, this is always hard for me to speak on because it kills me inside every time I think about it. When I first met my sister at the age of 21, she was 17 at the time. And, you know, we had a conversation, and I found out that, you know, he wasn't a part of her life either, in which I thought that he was a part of her life. But, you know, that's actually something that, you know, we learned about one another. And the first thing that, you know, she says to me is that she was under the impression that our father didn't want her.
Wow.
So all this time, that's what she was thinking and feeling. And I had to explain to her that that was not the case. It wasn't that our father did not want us. It's that our dad did not know how to be a father. And, you know, it's hard having to, especially because I'm the older sibling, it's difficult trying to explain that to your sibling, your younger sibling, when you don't understand everything completely. I will say that. That was a difficult conversation for me to have with her because, you know, I don't know everything. Thing that I was sure of, that it had nothing to do with him not wanting us. You know, so all of that plays a part, and, you know, and that's what I tried to be for my sister, what my mother was for me, you know, when it came to those times where I had a hard time understanding things. So, you know, all of it plays a part.
You know, now that's powerful, and see, having had the privilege of meeting your mother, you know, I just quickly discerned some things. I mean, she was so hospitable. She acted like she'd been knowing me all my life, like we've been knowing each other forever. And mm-hmm. I knew that it was authentic. You know, I knew that it's authentic. So I look for the authenticity within a person, you know, and mm-hmm. I knew that it was authentic. And it's so powerful because you said something. You said that your mother reinforced your father's love for you mm-hmm. in spite of their relationship and the difficulties that they had. She reinforced the fact that he loved you. And, I mean, she used to be a honored and applauded for that. Mm-hmm. So powerful. Because I've seen it go in the reverse and the adverse effects that has on the lives of young, especially young ladies and some young men. So then you made another statement that he did not know how to be a father. Now, hearing that from a young lady, that's powerful. That's so very powerful. So now, before we open the lines, share with us and with our listening audience some observations that you observed in the lives of the ladies who took part in this project that you have, some commonalities that were in there, and some your heart. And then we'll come back later and talk about the healing process. But share with us a few things that you found in common with the people that you interviewed.
I will say that I saw a lot of pain, a lot of former anger, a lot of confusion. I saw a whole lot of confusion. That was one thing in common with two of the women that were that was in the documentary. They there was a lot of confusion and for the events that happened, you know, pertaining to their fathers. There was a lot of the thing about it is everyone involved with the documentary, I never sensed that any of them hated their father. I never sensed that. Now, I sensed that there had been some anger due to confusion throughout the years, you know, and I feel like, I feel like all the women in the documentary have kind of gotten past that point of being angry, you know, but I will say that, yeah, I never sensed that any of them hated their dads. It was more so they wanted them to be around.
Yeah.
They just wanted them to be around, you know. So there was just the overload of confusion, you know, with all of them was something that was very common, in which, you know, I can relate. I can relate. I've had my times of being confused. I'm still confused. There's a lot of stuff that I still don't quite understand. You know, like I said before, I love my father to death, but there are some, you know, some things that I don't quite understand why, you know, things happen, you know, the way that they do, or why he, you know, has handled things the way that he has. But, you know, but you always saw the love that they had, and it was more of a yearning to still have them around, you know, that window was still open for all of those women. That window was still open. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they, you know, completely shut their fathers out and they're like, okay, I'm done. I no longer want to deal with this. I no longer want to know him. The window was still open for all of those women, and they wanted to still have that relationship with their fathers, you know? So that's definitely something, you know, a few of the things that I saw in common with all the women.
Powerful. Let me ask you this question, and as a follow-up to what you said, the window was still open. How do you navigate through the pain but keep the window open?
Keeping positive people around you. Your family plays such a huge part in you being able to heal, you know, from that, you know, kind of a situation. Your family plays such a huge part, and that's why I refer to, you know, my family so much, because when you, like, I'll say this, for example, I have a very good friend. I won't say her name, but I have a very good friend. She, unfortunately, she did not have a family foundation. She did not have her father around, and she also did not have, you know, she didn't have a good relationship with her mother, and she never had a family setting. You know, she was never raised in that, you know. So she has a lot of anger.
Yeah.
Now, towards men in general, just, I mean, a lot of anger, and she has anger to a point of it's hard for anybody to stray her away from that way of thinking, you know, because she's known it for so long, you know. She's in her 30s now. She's known that for so long, and after not being properly introduced to, you know, to what a man is from her father, she went from that into relationships and kept dealing with the same kind of relationships. She was in abusive relationships, and she was in relationships with men, you know, who were very controlling and didn't treat her well. And a lot of it has to do with her wanting love so badly that she's willing to accept anything that comes her way, you know?
Wow.
And,
wow.
You know, that's why I'll say me and my mother and my family have tried so hard to, you know, bring her in as and treat her as family, in which she's clung to us, you know, but there's a lot of things that she has not experienced. And you know, she has so much anger because she never had that support. She never had, you know, that example of love in her life. You know, she's pretty much been winging it this whole time. What so many women are doing, winging it. I had to wing it, you know. And family plays such a huge part, especially the mothers. They play such a huge part. And
wow.
it's so needed. You know, women especially, they need their mothers. When it comes to that kind of a situation, they need their mothers to help them understand and to give them that love that that they're missing, and help them have a better understanding, you know, when it comes to that. Because if we're just walking around winging it, there's going to be a lot of angry people walking around, because my friend, she's so angry because she didn't have that family setting around. So family plays such a huge part.
So the support, positive support, wasn't there. And with so because of that void, that only increased, added to the anger or the missing component that was already there in her life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey,
you know,
you're listening to the. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay.
I see you say something. I mean, excuse me. Let me breathe through my nose and keep my mouth shut.
So silly. No. No, I mean, you know, when people have said, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. That
yeah.
is so true. That is so true. Because when you don't have that one, when you don't have a parent, because parents, period, it's just like with people who lose, people who lose children, when you lose a parent, especially
yeah.
young, At a young point in your life, when you know you're still needing help and guidance and stuff like that, oh gosh, it's so important. So if you don't have that village around you to protect you and to teach you, and to teach you about love, see, that's something that I had, that I was very fortunate to have, you know. So that's why, you know, when it comes to some things, I have a better understanding, because I still, you know, my mother placed people in my life to still give me that love, even though I did not have, you know, my father around. There was still, of course, nothing would ever replace his love, but
yeah.
I was still receiving, you know, a lot of love from other members of my family. So, you know, that I just wanted to throw that in. I'm sorry.
No. It's very, 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 very important. Hey, you're listening to the Optimum Return broadcast. I'm your host, Dr. C, a very special guest, Michelle McQueen. She's the creator of the documentary, My Father, John Doe. Hey, we have some callers on the line, so callers, we're going to open up the line. And if you have questions for Kel, you know, if y'all might by chance want to say something to me, I know I'm just holding on here. You know, I'm just holding on now. So, you know, we're going to do that. Elder Kevin, let's open up the lines, man. Let's see what we got going on tonight.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Carnes. I tell you, Dr. Carnes, I just went through a box of tissues, man, over here crying. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so sorry. But it's a, what a powerful program. What a powerful program tonight, Dr. Carnes with Kel McQueen.
Yeah.
Incredible. I just want to make a few comments, if you don't mind, Dr. Carnes, before we open up the lines.
Ain't nobody asked you for no comments. I asked you. No. Go ahead.
That's why I asked the doctors. First of all, man, I tell you, Doc, this is so powerful. But I took some notes as Kel was talking, of course. And first thing, I just wanted to mention to everybody on the planet that Kel is very courageous, very, very courageous. I tell you, just incredible. She has that wonderful, wonderful background in that area as far as, you know, being courageous. But also, too, she has such wisdom, as you mentioned earlier, Dr. Carnes as well. What great wisdom she has at her age, and we're just so proud of her as well. And one thing I thought was very, very powerful, Dr. Carnes, is the fact that it's important to get the facts about, you know, specifically talking about Dad's night, but to get the facts about what's going on in your dad's life or what has happened in your dad's life. So I thought that was very important to get the facts as much as you can about what's going on before you start, you know, judging, prejudging or hating or disliking or whatever you want to call it. I thought that was very, very, very powerful that most people don't even think about doing, as you know, Dr. Carnes. So, Kel, that was powerful, very, very powerful, very, very powerful. And the last thing I wanted to mention, too, we're going to have to redefine Dr. Carnes, the deadbeat dad, because what Kel was saying is she's saying, my dad is not dead and his heart is still beating. So he can't be a deadbeat dad because he's still alive. So I thought that was pretty powerful there. So I thought that was really, 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 really good. So, Dr. Carnes, we're ready to open up those lines when you're ready.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, as Dr. Carnes mentioned earlier, for your safety and for security purposes, we want to give your last four digits only. And we're going to open up the lines with Dr. Carnes and Ms. Kel McQueen on the Optimum Return Network. Our first call of Dr. Carnes is 6745. 6745, you're live on the air with Dr. Carnes. And you may be on mute.
Yeah, 6745, last four digits. Your line is open. You may need to unmute your phone. Welcome to the broadcast.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. Carnes,
give them a couple. Give them a couple of seconds. They may need to unmute. If you need to unmute, push star 1 on your phone, and that'll let you be able to speak to us.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, be glad to come back to us, Doc. We'll go to the next call,
all right,
Doc. All right.
Yeah,
our next call, the last four digits is 8822. 8822, you're live on the air with Dr. Carnes. God bless you. Amen. You may be on mute. Feel free to unmute yourself, and you'll be live on the air with Dr. Larry Carnes. That's 8822. 8822, you're live on the air. Amen. We'll give him a few more seconds, Dr. Carnes. People just listening. I think they're just listening all this wisdom tonight as well. That's
okay,
powerful.
Let's go to the next caller.
Next caller is 5863. You're live on the air. God bless you. 5863, you're live on the air with Dr. Carnes. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. You may be on mute. I guess everybody's listening tonight,
let's
Doc.
Go to the next. Yeah, let's go to the next caller.
Amen. Well, back to you, Dr. Carnes.
All right. So, no one had any comments or you know, now that's interesting. Normally we get somebody to comment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know if it's them folks who I met last week, I know y'all talk. So, I know y'all talk because y'all was not breathing through your nose. Let me shut up for a second because I know I'm going to see them again and they're going to get me and you know. So let me shut up. So, Kel, listen, now you said something I thought was so very powerful. I want to follow up on a statement that you made. You said in a couple of the ladies who were, you know, that you interviewed, there was anger but no hate. Speak to us about the differences between anger and hate from your perspective and what you saw in the women involved in the documentary.
Well, you know, I saw a lot of things, you know, where I saw where it was coming from. I saw where the anger was coming from. You know, I saw that it was, you know, it wasn't just, you know, them just, you know, trying to be angry at their fathers. It wasn't them just trying to be, you know, that was just a thing. And there are some women out there that really try to stay angry and be angry, you know, but with the women in this documentary, that wasn't the case. It was, you know, because they, like I said before, that window was still open. You know, and you know, when it gets to a point of where, you know, your the hate is a very, very strong word. It's a very, very strong feeling, you know, and it wasn't when you reach that point, you know, you start to become stubborn and you block things off.
Wow.
And you know, in my opinion, that's when you start to lie to yourself. You know, about how you feel, and you get to the point to where you're like, okay, I no longer want anything to do with this situation. I've completely closed that door, you know. And these women, you know, they were still wanting that love. Even, you know, all of the women in the documentary were grown. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there was, you know, there were women, you know, going up into their 40s. So, It was, you know, amazing to me that these women were still willing to, you know, open that door and have that love and be willing to give that love back, you know. So it wasn't to a point of where they closed it off, because that's, you know, where hate begins, when you, you know, now you've made something up in your mind, you know, and it's hard to stray you away from what you're thinking and what you're feeling, and now you're feeling like, okay, this is it. I think this. And this is where my head is staying, you know. And that wasn't the case for the women in this project.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. Okay. Want to look here. I heard you say something. No, I have this question for you. And I've been meaning to ask you. Now, this is what I call, of course, you know, I'm a master life coach. And this is what we refer to as the miracle. If money wasn't a factor, time wasn't a factor, and education wasn't a factor, what would Kel be doing full time right now?
Ooh,
if money wasn't a factor, time wasn't a factor, and education wasn't a factor, what would Kel be doing full time right now? What would be the pursuit, the passion?
I probably would be writing, because, you know, that's something that I do naturally. I love to, with my writing, the one thing I tell everybody when people ask me, why did I decide to be a writer, or why is, you know, writing something that I love to do? Because I think that the world that we live in right now is not all that perfect. Not all that great all the time. And when I write, it's my world, and whatever I want to happen in that world will happen because I'm writing it. And if I want to, you know, try to change someone's life for the better, or make someone happy, or make someone, you know, realize the love that's still, you know, somewhere in this earth, I love doing that through my writing. So, you know, I love to inspire and motivate. So that's always been my passion, was helping people. And, you know, my way of, you know, doing that and executing that has always been through writing. So that's probably what I'd still be doing, was writing and trying to find different ways to help others, because it's something that makes me feel good. You know, and, you know, the thing about it is, I think that it's unfortunate that we've gotten to a time where being kind to another person, especially a stranger, is something odd, and you find it to be something unique nowadays, because people don't do it anymore. Random acts of kindness, it just, you don't see it very much anymore, you know, and I've said it before, I'm you know, trying to change the world one project at a time, regardless of whether it's writing, whether it's film, you know, whichever. And that's probably what I would be doing, finding different ways to you know, help others through writing.
Wow, that's powerful, powerful, powerful. So I heard you say that, you know, you like writing. You said because writing allows you to shape your world, and it also helps you to help and motivate others. That's very, very powerful. I want you to do something for us, for the listening audience. I want to ask this question. I'm going to say it way over here. But while we've been speaking, there was something that I, you know, just been on my heart. You know, Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter, 16th verse says that it says, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God had commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And when I read that, that's been on my heart to look that up. When I saw that and I read that, I think of you. And I would, you know, just say that, you know, because you demonstrated honor for your father and your mother. And it's so powerful because here you are, a young lady who's demonstrated that love even in the physical absence of your father, you know, from your life. Now, there's a command that God has released. And that command says that your days will be prolonged and it's going to go well with you. It also says, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And, you know, I would speak some things, you know, because this is what I do. I am who I am. And I'm going to say that because of the condition of your heart and the decisions that you've made to honor your father in spite of, that the hand and the blessing and the favor of God is upon your life. Some doors open for you in such a supernatural way that you're going to think, how in the world did that happen? I even see you coming in touch and in contact with some very powerful and influential people. Be mindful of who you trust. Use wisdom and direction, even as you have used wisdom and direction in this project. You know, and many times when you come into contact with people, make sure you look beneath the surface. Don't be overwhelmed by names, popularity, fame and money, because you're going to meet some of these people. And I see some doors open for you. And that's just something I wanted to speak and let you know. You know, this is because this is powerful. You've set yourself up for the favor of God to be manifest in your life and for greatness. As long as you know they're hating, you ain't got nothing to worry about, because you know they're hating anyway. You want the haters to reveal themselves, so you ain't got to look for them. What you need to be mindful of is them folks who got that mask on, you know, because them two-faced folks. Because, see, they got a mask on pretending to be, but behind the mask, there's something else. Now, you know, so I'm believing God for that you're going to have a keen sense of discernment, so you will know who to connect to and who to divinely connect from. You know, so yeah, we're going to, you know, make sure about that. Okay, so now that I've dropped that on you, listen to this. What would you say to the young lady that had fathers who were present in their lives, who loved them, nurtured them, provided for them in every way, but now that they've entered a stage of teenage stage and adulthood, they seem to be unappreciative, and they don't even show the honor and the respect that they should. What would you say to those young ladies who may be listening in to this broadcast?
Well, I will say that, you know, for young women that go through that experience, in which I think at some point, I think all of us go through that experience in different ways and different levels. Some a little more than others, you know, because you know, I've been no saint.
I know she had to beat you. I know she had to beat you. Beat her up, mama.
No,
beat her
no.
up. Beat her up.
We don't speak about those days anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We try to put those days behind us.
Uh-huh.
But yes, I have experienced the belt and the switch before. So, yes, mm-hmm. and you got to remember, I was partly raised by my great-grandmother, so I experienced the switch on her side.
Jesus.
So, yes,
oh,
I've experienced having to go outside to the backyard, get the switch off the tree. Don't get the little switch. Get the big switch.
Shut your mouth. So you, what you know about
inside,
that, girl?
Own,
what you know about
pull
that?
Your own, pull your own pants down. And you just, it is just like, I experienced all of that. You know, but I appreciate it now. I appreciate it now. And I understand it now, you know. Not trying to veer off. coming back, you know, I think that all young people go through that experience, and I think it's more so with that. That's more of that person trying to become their own person and become the person that they're supposed to be, you know, and when you get into those years, you know, especially when you get around 18, 19, and 20, those are some of the most confusing years of your life because you're at a point where, one, you think that you know so much and you feel like because you're at a certain age that you're at the age of, you know, being quote-unquote legal, that nobody can really tell you anything, you know, but you're still at a point where you're trying to figure yourself out and figure life out, you know. So, it's hard for, you know, for parents and their kids to understand each other during that time because it's more so that the kid is trying to become an adult and they don't quite know how to.
Mm.
So, you know, I would say don't let too much time pass and try to understand that your parent is not just doing things to parent you, you know, or trying to keep you from growing up because that's something that's going through, you know, their mind because they're in the mindset of I'm grown now. And I want to do my own thing. I want to be my own person, and I want to do what I want to do now. You know, so everything that, you know, your parent says or does is wrong.
mm-hmm.
And you feel as if they're trying to keep something from you or keep you in this little box, you know, as a baby. And that's not the case. And, you know, that's what I would probably say is, you know, try to understand that it's not that your parent is trying to keep you in a box and trying to, you know, keep you young forever, you know, and also try to understand that it's a difficult process for a parent to start seeing their child growing into an adult because when you get to the age of 18, when your child gets to the age of 18 and well, 17 and 18, this is the letting go process where you're bit by bit, you have to start letting go, you know, and letting, you know, letting that child, you know, see things for themselves, you know, and experience things for themselves. And that's not easy for a parent to do, especially one that's been around all the time, all throughout their life and, you know, held their hand through everything, you know, we're still going through that process with my mother. and my mother is still she won't.
Well, you know, and see, that's interesting because parents will be parents, and you know that's where we as people are tripod, you know. So, and I say it from this perspective, you have a sibling who's your sister. Mm-hmm. Your relationship with your sister will never be like your relationship with your mother.
Exactly.
Because it calls for different expressions, KLS.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different rules and different boundaries that govern those relationships.
Right.
And so that's, you know, that will always be. Then you have, you know, if there are cousins and things of that nature, well, that relationship there is not going to be like the relationship with your siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are different boundaries, there are also different rules. So
right,
we are one person, but we have to manifest or reveal ourselves in different expressions of who we are. That's just like, you know, God does. He's the Father, He's the Son, but then He's the Holy Spirit. But depending upon what we need is the way He's going to show up. you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's that tripod being. But, you know, that's so powerful. Because, see, as I hear you as a writer. I hear you as a filmmaker. But I also hear a part of Kale who's going to be healing and a medicine for young women who have experienced the same thing. I see you as being a prescription to help young ladies who may be, and young women who may still be dealing with the anger and on the verge of it becoming hate, even some who have allowed it to become hate. But then I see that here this young lady is who's navigated through this called life to this degree, but she had a family base. She had a support base that loved her and nurtured her through those difficult times. And so now I see you being released as a healing to do that. So you have to show up in a different expression of who you are and able to reach that, you know, that group of people. So I see that, you know, it's being very powerful. See, I got off into my doctor thing then, didn't I?
It's okay.
Yeah. See, I went on over there.
It's all right.
And talk about it. I didn't have no suit on when I came over your house. Yeah, that's all right.
I really was. I just had this image of a Steve Harvey suit, maybe a hat on with the shiny shoes. You know, I mean, maybe even gaiters. I was expecting.
Now, see, remember, I told you I got them in the closet now. You know I got some Crocker and some Dial, some Ella and some Gator in the closet now. So, you know I have. But listen, but you know I got some Cun and some Verse in there too, and some Mike and some Keith. You know, so you know we do that thing. But you know it's so refreshing. You know, and I think people need to hear this. Where you've been and the things that you've experienced should not confine you and hold you hostage. Listen to me, those of you who are listening around the world. Don't allow your pains, don't allow your hurts, don't allow your disappointment, don't allow your rejection to hold you hostage and cause you to become anger and bitter and go through life being resentful, because you're the only one suffering from that.
Right.
You have so much inside of you, so much potential, so much value, so much wealth. You have purpose and destiny. So don't allow the vicissitudes of life, that means challenges, y'all. I told them that the doctor thing. Don't let those things cause you to be something that you're not. You know, and so that's very powerful. I was looking
And you
here.
Know that, oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Kel, please.
Well, you know, I heard something you said, you know, a few seconds ago, you know. The thing about it is, yes, you're going to be the one going through it, but eventually there's going to be a person that, you know, as you get older and you go through life and stuff, there's going to be people that are going to come into your life that God has brought into your life to love you. And sometimes it's hard, especially when you, you know, have gone throughout your life, you know, only seeing one way of life and, you know, not being able to experience, you know, especially with the situation with your father, not having that experience with your father, you know, a wall goes up.
Yeah.
And I do believe that there is such thing as blocking blessings, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe in that. And like I said, there are going to be people that are going to come into your life that are going to want to love you that won't have the opportunity to, because you have only seen this, and now you don't trust when something comes around. So you don't recognize that this is a blessing that God is trying to put into your life.
Yeah.
Because all you've seen is destruction. All you've seen is situations go bad, you know. So you feel one way. So, you know, it affects, you know, the people around you. And, you know, I've spoken to, you know, many women that are married now, and they said that they went through tough times with their husband, and they were very thankful for the husbands that they have now that took the time out to deal with that with them. You know, some women are blessed with the opportunity to, you know, find a man that will take the time, you know, to understand that this woman has not been taught how to be loved by a man, you know. So it just, you know, it affects, you know, it affects you and the people around you, especially the ones who love you and care for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I concur. You know, as I say, you know, and I've said it, and I say, you know, even in relationship, no person has the right to dominate another person. And I say, you never use love as a weapon to hold someone hostage.
Right.
And when I say that, you don't use love in giving or withholding love to control or be controlling. Mm-hmm. And I tell people this, you know, you can be in control without being controlling.
Right.
Because you can love a person and you can get that person to do anything that you want them to do, but it's easier to love someone into submission than it is to beat someone into submission.
Absolutely.
And so you can control someone through love, but not have a controlling spirit dominate someone, because we're not called to dominate each other. But, you know, that's just so powerful. I was looking here. It says something. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents. It alludes to the same thing that we read there in Deuteronomy, because it comes with promise. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. There are promises that come with that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And then it says something here, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we all have a part to play in the big picture. You know, in the whole thing, in the whole scheme of things, we all have a part to play. I think it's so awesome when people can come together and say, you know what, I say this, let's learn to out-love, out-serve, and out-forgive each other. And love people where they are, not where you want them to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because when we love people where they are, they will eventually get where we want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell someone, you know, you have to learn to love the good, the bad, and the ugly. And someone said, well, you know, well, there is no ugly in God. I said, it might not be no ugly in God, but there's some ugly in some folk. So, I mean, yeah, come
exactly.
on. Yeah. You know, I mean, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. God makes you human.
You know, and so there,
God,
yeah, there are those
and
things.
Knew that you were not going to be perfect.
Because, see, we deal with emotion. And my thing is, we don't have to allow our emotions to control us. And I share that to say this. I think that, you know, you're to be commended because you did not allow what could be negative emotions to control you. And you just have such an awesome and powerful testimony here. I really see people, you know, grabbing this project, getting a hold of this project, and doors being opened, you know, and so just some awesome things opening up and occurring for you. Let's from this perspective now, I'm finna ask a question. See, I'm finna get beneath the surface right here.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I mean, you know. So now, when we talk about some things and young women, what do we say to the young lady who's made some decisions that were not really, you know, favorable decisions based upon the hurt and the anger that she may have experienced in her life? What do we say about the young lady who's making those decisions? And those decisions can be detrimental to them because they may be angry. What about the young ladies who are making decisions to do things thinking that they're going to hurt or get back at the parents or the parents who did not provides that support base of that love that you talked about. What do you say to those young ladies, Kel?
Well, I will say, and this is what I say to, you know, not just young women, but young, you know, the people around me in general. Realize that, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, living life and being young and having fun and doing, you know, doing what young people do. And, you know, because young people make mistakes. That's just, you know, that happens. But realize that the decisions you make today more than likely will affect you at some point later on in life, regardless of how small it is, you know. And there are things that, you know, may follow you later on in life. So, you know, think before you move. Think about what you're doing before you move. And, you know, one thing I will say, you know, because I've been, you know, to that point, not really necessarily to get back at my father, but, you know, I've had those times of being confused as far as, you know, the difference between love and sex, you know, and one
oh
thing
Lord,
that I would
she
definitely
said sex,
say,
y'all. Oh, Lord,
oh my goodness.
She said sex. Oh. See, don't y'all break out the oil and water. Yeah, we
I'm
have to
sorry.
Go there.
I'm so
see,
sorry.
See, we're being for real. That's right. But see, this is for real. This is up close and personal because we need to go there. And this is important. I thank you.
Well, that's
see,
something
love
that, that's
and
something
sex.
That women deal with. Yeah.
Yes.
That have gone through this, that have had apathy. Oh, yes. That's something. That's like right after anger and hurt is, you know, being promiscuous.
Yeah.
Being promiscuous. Oh, yeah, that definitely plays a part, you know, and I've gone through that. You know, my friends have gone through that. Family members have gone through that. You know, almost all of us have gone through that point of being confused when it comes to that, meaning we are letting people into our temple that don't need to be there because we think that, you know, we're just having fun or we're thinking that that's what love is, and that's not what love is. And then afterwards we end up being damaged because I was hurt going through that period. That was a painful period, especially when things started to become clear to me and I realized that this is not who I am and this was not something that was me. That's not who I am. It was something that I was doing. It wasn't what I was. You know, that's a painful period, and it's very emotional, you know. And, you know, that's why I said it's so important for, you know, the people around you, especially the ones who love you, your family, to be there for you, especially the women in your family, you know. And, you know, I would really, one thing that I would definitely say to them is this is not you. This is pain. This is you. This is you letting out your pain the only way that you know how, which you are winging it. You are winging it because you don't know the proper way to let some things out. So you do it through anger, sex, and, you know, and things that are damaging. So realize that this is not you, and this is not who you are. You don't have to be this. You don't have to be this. You don't have to. You know, one thing that, especially now in this time where I feel like women are very confused about a lot of stuff, you know, and a lot of women look at that television and see a lot of, you know, I guess what people call to be, you know, freedom, and they, and, you know, twerking became popular and all this other stuff that looks really absolutely silly. It looks ridiculous. And, you know, they, I think that women don't realize that that's not who we are. What you see on television doesn't mean that's who you are, you know, and that you are far more great you are worth so much more. And if you take the time to learn more about yourself and what you're worth, you will realize that when you get to the point of somebody actually loving you, sex can be for 5 minutes. That can only make you feel good for 5 minutes. But love, that's a whole different ballgame. And it's a whole different type of happiness. Your love is happiness.
Yeah.
Love is supposed to make you better and elevate you. You know what I'm saying? And some people don't get that because they see the pleasure in sex and think that that is something that is going to make them happy. And that's not something that makes you happy. Sex is not something that makes you happy. You know? So I've definitely been to that place where, you know, I was, you know, dealing with a lot of things, you know, and doing a lot of things that, you know, I had to soon figure out, you know, it wasn't me and that I was worth way more than that, especially when I met my first love. We're no longer together, but when I met my first love and actually experienced falling in love with somebody, and I realized how happy I was and how well I was treated, and the fact that it took me to the moon with happiness, I was like, oh, no, what I was doing before, I can't even go there anymore. I can't even understand where I was then now. The way
yeah.
where I am now, I can't even understand why I was where I was before. I can't even see that anymore. You know what I'm saying? So it's just time and being honest with yourself about where it all comes from, where it's all coming from, and realizing that tomorrow, I've said this several times, every day that you wake up is God giving you a second chance to change or better your circumstances.
Wow.
You know.
Powerful. Hey, you're listening to the Optimum Return broadcast. Hey, with me, Dr. C, and we have Kale McQueen. Such a powerful, powerful, powerful program. Remember, you can always look me up. You can go to www.larrykarnsministries.org. That's the website. We're doing some new construction with it, but I think you can still pull up the website. You can go in the contact us, an email, you know. I guarantee you I'll get back in touch with you. If I don't like what you say, then I won't. But, you know, put you go there. www.larrykarnsministries.org. Go to the website. Get in contact with me. We'll hit you back. Hey, you know, we're just so excited about it. Listen to this verse that I want to give to you here from 2 Thessalonians 3:3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." And see, we're talking about some things. That's the love that Kale's been speaking about. That love that establishes you. That love that you find the security in, you know. That real love. That love that's fun. That love that's full of joy. And that love that doesn't place unrealistic expectations. Tell you about a love that you can get that way. It comes through God, from Jesus, the Christ. He doesn't place unrealistic expectations on you. That kind of gospel is gone. He loves you where you are, and he'll love you to where he created you to be. I'm going to tell you again. He loves you where you are, and he'll love you to where he created you to be. You can't do anything to stop God from loving you. You can't do anything to stop Jesus from loving you, from being your comfort. You can't stop him from doing that. Because he's going to do it in spite of us, in spite of all our failures, in spite of our frailties, in spite of our mistakes and our opportunities to do it again. He's going to love us through it so that we can walk into it, into what? Into your purpose, into your destiny that he created you for. You are created for greatness. Each and every one of you listening are created for greatness. Greatness is in your DNA. Because you came from the greatest that ever was. He's the big G. You know, I call him the big G. You know, we call him God, but he's the big G to me. That's just how we roll, you know, because greatness is within you. And you know, you heard some powerful words coming from this awesome young lady. Elder Kevin, if we still have people on the line, let's give them another shot. We got 10 minutes before we get out of here. Let's give them another shot to see if anyone has comment, if we still have people on the line.
Absolutely, Dr. Carnes. Yes, we do. I'm just going to go open up the lines. We have some callers on the line. I'm just going to open up the line. Dr. Carnes, if anybody wants to make a comment or a discussion there, please let you know that you are live on the air right now. All lines open.
What did it do? Did it move? Oh, yeah. It didn't move.
I hear somebody talking.
Yeah, somebody's busy out there, I guess. So right now the lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are open. Amen. Amen, Dr. Carnes. I'm going to close the lines unless you want to keep them open.
Well, just a moment. Does anyone listening in have a comment or a question for Kale that you'd like to ask?
She's so sweet. I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
All right. All right, so we can close them up.
Amen. Amen. Everybody's out there listening and doing a great job. Great job. Back to you, Dr.
Okay.
Carnes.
Okay. You know, so this is so powerful, you know. And for those of you who are listening, you may say, hey, see, what Kale's speaking of is transformation. You know, and I shared this because if you change, you can change back. But when you're transformed, when I hear Kale talk about her life and her experience, she's undergone a transformation. And hear me carefully. You know, I teach on the process and the power of transformation. Transformation is a process that's lengthy, it's messy, it's painful. You're going to have some rejection in it. You're going to cry while you're going through the process. You're going to have some disappointment while you're going through the process. Folk are going to hurt you while you're going through the process. But see, you're transforming into. You can no longer be what you were. Kale said she could never go back to that which she thought and which she was. When she experienced true love, see, a transformation took place in her life. And I'm telling some of you tonight who are listening, you've been hurt. Ladies, you've experienced some things in your life. I speak and declare that there's a healing that's been released in your spirit, in your emotions, in your mind, the spirit of your mind. You have value. You have self-worth. I know that there was some molestation that took place. I'm going to speak that the healing takes place in you emotionally, that your spirit is healed, so that you can physically walk in the newness that you were created to walk in. I speak a healing to the spirit of your mind, your will, and your emotion. I declare that to be so. And I release just the healing balm to just saturate you from the crown of your head to the very sole of your feet. Hey, and you can always call. Like I tell people, they say, well, why do you relate to women so well? Well, I was raised in a house with my mama and my two sisters, and every neighbor around me were females. And one lady asked me, one of the mothers said, boy, you were raised around all these girls, all around you on every side, and we trusted you with all of them. And you didn't never go a date any one of them. They were like family. I mean, I saw them. They were some fine. I mean, boy, they were finer than frog hair. And frog hair so fine, you can't see it, boy. I'm telling you, they were fine. But to me, I was around them, and they would talk. And so I learned things that ladies did, that girls did, that other guys didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you know, at one time, I would hear the guys say, boy, we thought you were going to be gay. Because you were up there. Yeah, they did. They said, we thought you were going to be gay because your mama was over. All you were around there with all those girls, we thought you were going to be gay. But, you know, I was one of the boys, you know, but I just understood and had an appreciation. And that thing has just followed me through my life. So I understand the pain, the hurt, you know. And so my daughter, I was speaking to my oldest daughter today, and she said, Daddy, you know, I'm still a daddy's girl. I said, yeah. She said, and my mama said, when your daddy come around, you just forget about me. You know, she said, Mama, you know I always been a daddy's girl, you know. But she told me this. She said, Daddy, you remember this girl who was in the dancers in this dance group, she said she always asked me about my dad. Where your daddy? I just love your daddy. And she made me remember, well, this young girl used to call me and talk to me on the phone. She was in living in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was in Augusta, Georgia. Because I would go and spend time with this group of young people. They would dance time with them and sit there and talk with them. And to this day, that young lady remembers that. Now, she's getting married. And she said something to my daughter that just fine. She said, I would love it if you and your dad could be at my wedding. So just the impact. But I want to tell you, young ladies, young women, young girls who are listening, the promises of God are greater than your challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And the promises
Absolutely.
Of God for your life are still yes and amen. So, Kel, just speak to our people. We have 4 minutes before we get out of here. Anything that you would like to say?
Just, again, I say it all the time, and I can't thank everyone enough, and I love you all so much. And, for the support that you've shown for the project, My Father, John Doe. yes. Keep checking out the My Father, John Doe Facebook page and my Facebook page, Kel McQueen, to get more and more updates, as time goes on, as far as, the when the release date will be, just keep supporting. And, this is, like I said, this is not just a project, for me. This is something for all of us. And, again, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on. Again, I love speaking with you all. I love the conversation. I love what you all are doing and the motivation that you give people with this program. I thank you all so much for that. So I have to commend you all for what you all do as well.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. And, as I say many times, Larry Carnes is the host, but it's not Larry Carnes' program. God has just entrusted me with it. That's why it's called the Optimum Return. Hey, you can return back the very purpose, the very destiny that God created you to walk in spite of your pain, in spite of your disappointment, in spite of the things that we've gone through in life. There is an optimum return. What is the optimum return? The optimum return blessing is this: the greatest and most favorable degree of God's increase, growth, and reproduction continuously operating and manifesting in every area of your life. Listen to me closely. Everything lost, everything stolen, and everything forfeited must be redeemed, missing, and there's nothing lacking. We're talking about total and complete restoration. So the optimum is the greatest and most favorable degree. And I release that upon your lives tonight. For those of you listening, I speak it and declare it to be so, that your best day is today. And I decree and declare that there's an awakening, transformation that's taking place in your life. Remember to always outlove, outserve, and outforgive each other. It's your boy, Dr. C. I'm out. Elder Vaughn, take us out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen all around the world, you've been listening to another powerful program with Dr. Larry D. Carnes on the Optimum Return Network with our wonderful guest tonight, Ms. Kel McQueen. Guys, this was powerful tonight. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to this over and over again. Ladies and gentlemen, you can actually send this out to people through go back to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/menlesstalk. Look for the programming titled Dr. Larry D. Carnes on the Optimum Return Network. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen, you can push this to Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and all social media. You can download it to yourself, put it on a CD, ladies and gentlemen, MP3 file, put it on your iPod, laptop, any device that will handle the audio, ladies and gentlemen, is available to you. So we want to encourage you to come back and listen to Dr. Carnes in this powerful program with his wonderful guest, Kel McQueen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we want to take you out. Remember, you're always a winner. Hey, powerful program from Dr. Larry D. Carnes. We call him Dr. C. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We approve this message. God bless you. Until next week, put on your calendar next Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Time. Put it on your calendar. Dr. Carnes will be back with you with another powerful Optimum Return Network broadcast. God bless you. Until next time, we love you. And remember, Jesus is Lord. Bye-bye now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.